Next up, Academy Award-winning actress and activist Monique gets real about HIV and AIDS in America and what each of us can do to make a difference. Stay tuned for this special program brought to you by Clear Channel Communications and Greater Than AIDS.
This month, June, marks 30 years since the first case of AIDS was diagnosed. We've come a long way since those early days, but HIV is still an issue that touches many of our lives. A lot of us have someone close to us living with this disease or has died from this disease. Today, there are more than a million people in this country living with HIV, more than at any time in the history of this disease. Now, despite the challenges, there is hope, and it's within the power of each of us to do something about it. Might say we're at a deciding moment in this epidemic where we can choose to do something or stand by and watch it continue to take our lives. That's the question a new national movement called Greater Than AIDS is asking. What's your deciding moment? Was there something that happened in your life that changed how you think about HIV, AIDS? Maybe inspired you to say, let me get involved. Now, my deciding moment was, I would say in the early 90s, my Uncle Donald had the disease, HIV, and then it turned to AIDS. And I watched my family place one fork, one knife, one plate, and one cup to the side. And that's how my uncle was treated the entire time he had the disease until he passed away. Now, in the early 90s, I was in my early 20s, and I watched how he was treated from people that said, we love you. And at that moment, I didn't know what I would say and how I would do it and how I would go about it. But I just knew at that moment, I never wanted to see anyone treated that way that had that disease. So for my Uncle Donald is why I sit here and do this program. For my best friend, Sharice, is why I sit here and do this program. So we would ask all of you to figure out when is that moment that you say, I must get involved. I must do something. I will not let this disease continue to take our lives. Now, each one of us has everyday opportunities to take a stand against this disease, to be greater than AIDS. And our guests here today, in each of their own ways in their everyday lives, strive to be greater than AIDS, including our brother, Mr. Phil Wilson, Executive Director of the Black AIDS Institute and co-founding partner of Greater Than AIDS. Ms. Marvelyn Brown, who since being infected at age 19 by her then boyfriend, has become the national voice speaking up about HIV. And two Atlanta-based artists, Drez the Beatnik and Chauncey Beatty, who expressed their deciding moment through creative expression of their music. Now, we're going to get right into it, and I'm going to start with Brother Phil Wilson. Now, HIV affects people of all ages, genders, and races, but the impact on Black America is startling. And you say, Phil, that this is a fire raging in our community. What exactly do you mean by that?
In America today, you know, AIDS is a Black disease. You know, I say that because, you know, Black people are roughly 12% of the population, and yet we're nearly 50% of the million people living with HIV disease. We're 50% of the new cases in this country, and we're nearly 50% of the annual AIDS deaths. And when you drill down into subpopulations, you know, where 30% of the new HIV/AIDS cases among gay men are Black men, you know. But when you look at young people, you know, young people in America today, 70% of the new HIV/AIDS cases are our kids, you know, Black boys and girls. And that's why, you know, I think it's critically important in Black communities that each and every one of us take action with our deciding moment.
Now, this is HIV Tested Month, and I will ask you, a Black gay man that is HIV positive and has been for quite some time, what is it about those three letters, HIV, those four letters, AIDS, AIDS, that we are so afraid of and we won't go and get tested?
I think there are a number of things. Certainly, you know, people are fearful of, you know, getting bad news, period. You know, in The Wiz, when Evelyn says, don't bring me no bad news. No, in many ways, no, that is still a way a lot of us operate. I think that there still continues to be fear and a lack of knowledge, now, particularly in Black communities around HIV. We know the basics, but it's still a scary thing. I think it's also, you know, difficult for people to deal with anything that, you know, AIDS, you know, untreated, still can be, you know, a deadly disease. Mm-hmm. I also think that if we're honest, Monique, that the issue around stigma is a huge barrier, and it undermines our ability to fight HIV in our communities, and it puts us all at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, particularly around homophobia, you know, people don't want to acknowledge that there are gay and lesbian people in our community. You know, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our cousins, you know, our neighbors, our best friends, and I think that those are two of the major barriers facing our community around HIV today.
And for those of you who are listening, to our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, to those people that are fighting, first of all, just being homosexual, being lesbian, just fighting with that, and then to have that piled on top of it, here's what I would ask, is that we stop judging. Remove the judgment and allow people to be free to who they're going to be. And maybe if we do that, the disease wouldn't run so rampant. Period. And I just don't want us to put it on our community.
That's right.
Because in my very humble opinion, those numbers just seem to be so startling and so out there, and people create those numbers. What I will say, again, in my humble opinion, we in our community need to be responsible. We can no longer place that responsibility anywhere else.
That's right.
Now is up to us. And since 1985, when you knew that you were HIV positive, what would you say is different from 1985 to right now, June 2011?
I think there's a world of difference, you know. We are certainly not where we were, you know. Mm-hmm. The treatments are better. You know, it's easier to get tested, you know. And the thing about HIV today, that it is a disease that is 100% preventable. Mm-hmm. We know how to prevent infection. Now, it is 100% diagnosable. Getting an HIV test is so easy today. Now, it's free. It's painless. No more needles. Now, it's easy. No more blood. Now, you get the results back, you know, in 30 minutes. You know, so it's free. It's easy. It's painless. It's fast. And you get information that might save your life. I think that's a big difference, and people don't realize that. They still have these images, you know, of a phlebotomist and the pulling of blood. And the treatments are much, much better. So if you find out that you're HIV positive, particularly if you find out early, there are treatments available. I've been living with HIV now for 30 years. I'm alive today because I have access to medical care. And if there's no other message, I would say that everyone should know their own HIV status because there's treatments available and you can take actions to protect yourself and to protect your partner.
So please, babies, know your status and ask yourself, what will be my deciding moment? What will be that moment that I say, no more? It stops right now, and it stops with me. Now, it's funny, Phil, because when we met this morning, we got on a conversation about Morgan State University. When back in 85, a professor came to our school and began to talk to us about HIV and AIDS, and you just received an email.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that the epidemic is so real. And as you point out, these are human beings. I received an email just this morning from a mother who just found out yesterday that her 22-year-old son, you know, tested HIV positive. And she sent me an email because she's afraid. She doesn't know what to do. Right now, she doesn't really know how she's feeling. And I called her this morning to let her know that it's going to be okay. You know, and that you're not alone. You know, but every day we get these emails, we get these calls from people who just found out either they're HIV positive or their son or their daughter is HIV positive, and they feel so alone. They feel so isolated. They feel so afraid. And we can do better than that.
Let me ask you this, Phil. When people get those words, you're positive, is it a matter of you just simply saying, I have a will to live, or I have a will to die?
I think that, and I have to admit, you know, when I found out that I was HIV positive, I was an informed person. Now, I actually went in to get the test anticipating that I was going to be HIV positive from what I knew. I thought, well, no, it was, for me, it was just really about confirmation. But to have it confirmed, you know, your immediate first response is that you are going to die. You know, and so the challenge is, and the test is, you know, that you get over that. Mm-hmm. And some of us get over that and decide, well, I'm not going to be active in my own demise. Mm-hmm, and we will ourselves to live, you know, with proper care and treatment and follow through. Others, you know, don't. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the stigma. If we can lift the stigma, I think that more and more of us will understand that you actually can live with this disease if you take action. And that's the key, taking action.
Come on, y'all. We have to decide, when will it be that moment that we make a difference? When will we have to stop having these conversations of simply taking responsibility? The theme of our show today is deciding moments. What's yours? Up next, Chauncey Bailey shares her deciding moment. We'll be right back.
We're greater than AIDS.
His shirt thrown careless across the footboard of his bed. His pants a reckless discard on the floor. His fingers fumbling the open terrain of my body. He is ready. He is ready. But he is not prepared. So I said no. There will be no mistakes. His moment became my moment. I decided I am greater than AIDS. This is poet Chauncey Bailey, and this is my deciding moment. Tell us yours at greaterthan.org.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us right now, we are discussing the program Greater Than AIDS. We're sitting here now with our sister Marvelyn Brown, who was 19 years old when she contracted HIV after having unprotected sex with her then boyfriend. Today, she is an AIDS activist who travels the country and the world to tell other young people what she didn't know. She also wrote a book, The Naked Truth, about her experiences. Now, her story is part of Greater Than AIDS, a national campaign to inspire personal action in response to AIDS. Marvelyn, welcome.
Thank you.
19 years old. Take us back. What happened?
Well, basically, I was invincible. I felt I was on top of the world. I had a social life. I was playing sports. I was happy. The last thing on my mind was HIV. And then I fell ill, went to the hospital. I was actually on my deathbed, and they discovered I had pneumonia. And I was stabilized, put in a regular room at the time. I was by myself, and it was a knock at the door, and I told the doctor he could come in. And he said, you know, Marvelyn, you're aware you have pneumonia? And I said, yeah, I'm very much aware. He said, I'm sorry, but I have something more serious to tell you. So I grabbed my heart and I said, oh, my God, I'm pregnant. And he just looked. And you know, I knew I wasn't pregnant. And he said, you're HIV positive. And when he said that, I really didn't know what to feel. I didn't really know about HIV. I definitely heard about it, but I didn't care about it until that moment right then, when he told me I was HIV positive.
To hear those words, were you angry? Were you scared? What was the emotion, if you can remember?
I was confused because I felt like everything I heard about HIV had to be a lie. I heard it as it related to gay men and IV drug users and prostitutes, and I just didn't understand. I mean, I was like, I got too many shoes, don't I? I look too good. Like, it just didn't click. It really didn't. I didn't understand.
Were you ever angry? And if you were, when did you stop being angry?
I became very angry when I experienced stigma from my own family members. One day, I went to having a social life, to the next day, not having any friends. I became very, very angry in the beginning of my diagnosis because I was shunned out of my church. I dropped out of college due to the stigma that I was facing. I was living in my car. You know, as you explained about your uncle, I was forced to eat out paper plates and plastic silverware, and I had to wash my clothes separately. And so I became very angry. I was angry with God. I didn't want to hear his name. I completely had lost all faith. I just wanted to die every day. I thought about death. And I just knew that it was steadily approaching to the point where I went out and I took my obituary picture, you know, because I just knew I was going to lose weight and lesions was going to appear on my face. And I was just like, you know, you need to hurry up. And so I took my obituary picture and I waited to die. And the day I stopped being so angry, when I almost did die. But it had absolutely nothing to do with HIV. I was in a very serious car accident and it almost killed me. And then I realized that despite the simple fact of being HIV positive, I still had life. Mm. There was no punishment in it. the punishment was what I was doing to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the end. And at this time, I had been living with HIV for about 4 months. And then I realized that HIV will do what you let it do, and that I'm definitely greater than this disease, and I can overcome it. And ever since then, I have not looked back.
Now, I am sitting here looking at this vibrant, beautiful, very sexy woman. So when you are out and about and you're doing your thing and you're now having this social life and still a very young woman, and you meet a brother who does it, who gives you those wonderful feelings and is special, when is it okay to let someone know?
Well, nowadays it's a little different. Guys approach me knowing, you know, that I have HIV, and they're okay with it. I think they look past HIV and say, you know what, she's an honest person, she's outgoing, you know, all these things. And I think they're attracted to that. But definitely before guys knew about my status, I would let them know the first conversation over the phone. Because I felt my love grew for men in seconds. Like, it was just like, he said the right thing, and I was like, oh, I love him. You know, so my thing was tell him the first conversation so there's no feelings. So if he don't want to have anything to do with you, then you don't have to worry about it. And so that's what I did. I told him the first conversation. And sometimes in the beginning, I would have to butter it up. He would say, like, what are you doing? And I say, oh, I'm watching this AIDS special on TV. Whether an AIDS special was on, it was kind of to get his reaction to see where he was, to see if I would even be comfortable telling him that, because I could tell if it wasn't going to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just so open. It's just like, I'm HIV positive, take it or leave it.
In the conversation we're having right now, and we're talking to millions of people, and we're having very general, open conversation. But can you talk to that 19-year-old sister right now that's dealing with it right now and talk directly to her? And sis, if you could for a second, open up your heart, open up your mind, and absorb what this sister's getting ready to say to you.
I would say to her, it's true when they say you don't know how strong you are when you don't have no choice but to be. I truly believe if you want to die from this virus, you will die. But it's up to you to make that decision and make that choice. You have to love yourself enough to protect yourself.
We're going to take this break, but before we go, think about this. What will be your deciding moment? We'll be right back.
We're greater than this. Your disease is just feast on my community. I'm telling you all now, we're greater than. That decided moment you thinking it could never be me. I'm telling you all now, we're greater than. Just make your next move your best move before you decide, people. I'm telling you all now, we're greater than. At the end of the day, just remember the catchphrase, man. I'm telling you all now, we're greater than. We're greater than AIDS.
What's going on, world? It's your man Dres the Beatnik, and this was my deciding moment. Tell us yours at greaterthan.org. Peace.
If you're just joining us right now, we are discussing the program Greater Than AIDS, What Will Be Your Deciding Moment? We're joined now with local Atlanta-based musical artists Chauncey Beatty and Dres the Beatnik. Now, they use their creative talents to speak out about HIV/AIDS as part of the Greater Than AIDS campaign. We've heard their Deciding Moments performances during the break, and right now, we're going to enjoy their artistic talents as they share with us.
Things that are black, the night, a winding roll, the fine print, the ink we write with a hero's cape, now HIV and AIDS. They are calling it a black disease. And this is not the first times our bodies have been under siege, fighting for subjectivity. Black is an object, it is the night, a winding road, the fine print, the ink we write with an eye. I am a woman and we are objects still fighting to be seen as more than body. So before that night, that black night you decide to give of yourself, woman, ask him the details of history, the skeletons, the trophies, the conquests, the love he trusted enough to love raw. Ask him, just how did he love? Exactly. Then ask yourself, woman, if he is worth risk. This winding road, the endless or ending, the dark of the unknown, the shifting and shifting of reality. There is much beauty in loving and light, knowing the fine print, the black writing underneath, the crystal ball, the what will happen if. You should know what you are getting into, as well as what is getting into you. Woman, how beautiful is black? It is the ink you write with. The moment you decide your life is worth protecting, you the author deciding your destiny. Things that are black, the night, a winding road, the fine print, the ink we write with, a hero's cape. And now we know black is greater than AIDS.
Now, I know everybody right now is snapping. Y'all know how we do when we hear something so dynamic. We have to snap to it. This is a standing ovation snap. Now, Ms. Chauncey, what inspired you to get involved with this campaign?
Two things. One, I had a family member to transition from AIDS. And what was really interesting, I didn't know he was sick. I got a call. I was off at school, and my mom said, you need to come home. Yeah, cousin has died. And so I went home, and I went to his funeral. And I sat in his funeral, and I was disgusted. One, we never talked about why he died. Two, his life was compiled into 1 year, his last year, right? So his whole eulogy was about how he came back to church within the last year of his life to get himself together, and that was his eulogy. And my cousin was an amazing person. He was also a gay man, right? So that was the other thing that was going on, was the dynamics between his family, right, his queer community family, and then our family, who was afraid to look to the left and to the right of them because they didn't know who and what was sitting next to them. And so it just started my wheels spinning on how we talk about sexuality in our community, on stigma, and on silence and shame. That was the first thing. The second thing is I'm a former pregnancy prevention counselor at an elementary school. And so I was teaching these babies about how to not engage in risky behavior, and it was around pregnancy prevention. But I also had to teach them about STIs and HIV and AIDS. And so what I realized that even in my own personal life, I was not taking the measures I needed to take to prevent HIV, right? I might have been preventing pregnancy, right? So you're with your partner, and you might be choosing to do the withdrawal method mm-hmm. or the calendar method, but are you really protecting yourself? Right. And so those were the things that really got me involved in doing this type of work.
Okay. Well, can I say we're very grateful that you are involved, and thank you, sister. Drez,
yes,
what was the moment for you that you said, I need to be a part of this?
Well, I had a friend of mine that I went to college with. He didn't know that he was infected until his daughter was in an accident and he couldn't give blood because he was HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for him. Simple. Like he was my brother.
Yes.
You know, married, you know, he did everything by the book, you know, went to college. First in his family to go to college, got his degree, got a good job, got a wife, had a baby, you know. Watching him go through it and him feeling angry, upset, pissed at life, at everything, I just didn't want him to feel like he was by himself.
Now, the two of you collaborated together.
Mm-hmm.
You went around to the HBCUs
mm-hmm.
to share your art
mm-hmm.
and to speak to our babies. What were you finding going around to the HBCUs, testing our babies on the spot, some of them coming back with that positive result? What were y'all finding? What was the vibe? What was the feeling?
A lot of fear. Like a lot of fear and a lot of bravery.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you know, for me anyway. My experiences with it, with this particular tour, I would run across a group of fellas, for example. They out on the yard, they hanging out. You know, I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, guys, we're doing free testing you know, over here in this building, you know, why don't you come? Oh, well, you know, I got, you know, and you know what, my, and it's like, I got class. No, you don't. You on the yard. Last thing you thinking about is class. This thing will take 20 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you could go get tested, go to class, get your education, come back, get your results. I got you. Come on. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to do it by yourself. I'll go in with you. Nah, I'm all right. I'm all right. You're not all right.
Right.
Like, a lot of that. And then, you know, the students that actually would go and test, some of the bravest souls I know. It's brave.
Yeah. Chauncey, what was the feeling from the sisters?
Well, first I would say, I think for me, the tour was an event that I engaged in to be in service to this movement, but it ended up being life-changing for me. The young people on the campus who were there, the people who came out was primarily the student leaders, right? You had your group of 20% that do all the work. Those were the people who were in the forefront of this movement, your peer educators. I think that women in particular are starting to get more involved in this movement because we are being affected at greater numbers at this point by HIV and AIDS. I think the thing that was really life-changing for me was when we first had a person to come back positive.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, we're not necessarily seeing the people out there because it's a separate, you know, we're doing the front end piece of it. We're not necessarily, you know, you can't say who has what. I think that what was crazy for me was having just spoken to these folks and them going off to get tested. And I went back to my room that night and I was in tears thinking this person's life is going to be changed. And while I know, you know, I'm working alongside people who live with HIV every day, it's not a death sentence. I know that there are people who are living healthy lives with HIV, but I think that to witness someone firsthand
at the precipice of
that moment,
it was, you know, it was just something that just triggered something in me. I am so proud and amazed to be a part of this movement. I believe in this work. I'm so honored to be alongside folks like Marvelyn who are speaking out. In the Black community, we have a history of not taking care of ourselves, particularly Black women. You know, I think that the narratives we have around our race and around our gender teaches us to put everything in front of ourselves, you know, and we cannot afford any longer to have anything outside of self-care first. And I think that was the biggest thing I got from this tour.
Today, we've talked to people that are dealing with and living with this disease, and they all had the will to simply live. So what we would ask you is, if you do find out that you have that positive status, do you have the will to live, or will you have the will to let it all go? It is totally up to you. And if your answer may be, you know what, I have a will to let it go, do yourself a favor, put someone else in front of you. If right now you can't care for yourself enough to do it for you, put someone else in front of you that you do care for, and watch the results. So in conclusion, we simply ask that we take responsibility. God bless us. We love all of you. Hold your head up, stay strong, and let's stop judging. Now wrap your arms around yourself and squeeze real tight. We've all just been hugged, and we love you for free, sugars. For more information on HIV and AIDS, or to find out where you can get tested, please visit us at greaterthan.org.
This special program is brought to you by Clear Channel Communications and Greater Than AIDS.